Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 13 through 15. And that can be found in your pew Bibles on page 824. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away.
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 19, where Tom just read for us, and we'll move my... I think we're good. Yep. We're adjusting some things with the microphone, so we're all good there. It is great to see each of you on this Sunday morning. And if you'll allow me, I want to just take a few moments and talk about this past week and incorporate some of the things from this past week into what we're doing with the story as well. As our members know, we have been going chronologically through the Bible in 2017 in an effort we're calling The Story. We took a break over the past couple of weeks due to Vacation Bible School and just July 4th and things like that. And so this week we resume. If you have our companion book that we're using sort of as a study aid, we're in chapter 25. But in chapter 25 of The Story, it goes so well with some of the things we want to spend a few thoughts on this morning. But just to remind you, starting with today and over, we have 7 weeks left, and we will be completed with the story effort. And so each week for the last 7 weeks, if you'll stay with the reading and study and come to Bible class prepared, and your children as well, I know you'll greatly benefit from that. And just to give you an idea of where we are, today in the story, we are in the final couple of weeks, really, of Jesus' life and ministry. Next week, we will be at the crucifixion on Passover weekend, and 2 weeks from now will be the resurrection. And so in many ways, everything that the story has been building up to are these moments right here. And what we talk about in the month of August will be based upon what takes place in this part of the story as well. But if you'll indulge me, I want to take a few moments and talk about this past week and talk about Vacation Bible School, because it was just a tremendous week. And I've heard that from so many people on such a regular basis, people sending me text messages and saying stuff on Facebook and saying things to me personally. And one thing I keep reiterating to people is Vacation Bible School, it's not really because of me, it's because of all of us. It's because so many people have teamed together and put their talents and their time and their passion for the Lord, and especially in a week like this, their passion for children together in a unique and special way. And we keep seeing fruit that comes from this effort. Just to give you an idea, I've been here, this is now my 7th Vacation Bible School. In October, I will have been here 7 years. And so my records go back 7 years ago. My first summer here, 2011, our Vacation Bible School that year, we averaged in the 70s. Which was pretty good, and I didn't know what to expect, but we averaged in the 70s each night for Vacation Bible School in 2011, and going back in my records, we had a total of 60 children who attended throughout the week. We like to keep track of every child who is present. If a child is here just one time, that counts as one. If a child is here 4 times, that counts as one. So every individual child, we had 60 children that first year, and we averaged in the 70s throughout the week in our attendance. Well, you've probably already seen this, but this past week we had 84 children. And we averaged 142 people every night. Praise God, right? Yeah, absolutely. That's not to our glory, that's to the Lord's glory. But in bringing glory to the Lord, we have to do things. And what that shows me is that we have done some things. And we have done some things right, and we have done some things well. I was talking with Sherry Montgomery this morning, and you know, she said something I thought was just completely accurate. She said that we've just created a culture of Vacation Bible School, to where when people know that we're going to have this event, they want to be here, children want to be here. Adults want to be here. Our attendance in children has grown, but our attendance in adults has grown as well. And if you were here at any point throughout the past week, I hope that you were blessed. I feel confident you should have been blessed by what you saw and by what you heard in the children and in us coming together to serve as well. I want to highlight a couple of things that I know was said. It wasn't said to me. It was said to some of our teachers, some of our adult helpers. Earlier this morning, Karen Hernandez was telling me about her nephew, Caden. And on Wednesday night, he said, "I wish we could come back tomorrow night." And she said, "Caden, tonight's the last night of Vacation Bible School." "I know that. I wish we could come back tomorrow night." When a small child feels that way, that warms your heart. You know you're doing something right. Another child, I don't know exactly what child, a visiting child that was with us, told one of our chaperones, we have adults, you know, we have station to station, and some of our MVPs, and I don't mean to lift some people up over others, but some of our MVPs of Vacation Bible School are the people who each night take the kids from station to station, because that takes a lot of energy and time and supervision. But one of the children told one of our chaperones, in sincerity, he said, "You know, I just really didn't know all that much about Jesus." Now there's a part of that you're like, "Oh, that's a shame." But then there's another part of that you're like, "That's why we do this." That should encourage and lift us up and keep us motivated. There will probably be a year where we won't be able to say this year's attendance surpassed last year's, but I want to challenge us. Let's try to do it again next year. This pattern that we have been on is a very good pattern to be on. And I hope that it encourages you in such a way that not just with our children, but with the adults of this community, you know, it really in many ways, it started with efforts that date back, well, we started planning for this months ago. And people have been putting work and effort into this, whether it's in inviting friends or family members or neighbors or doing door knocking or the clothing drive. So many ways in which we try to let people know who we are and that we're here. But let me say this. Let's build upon what has occurred over the past week. If you brought somebody with you, if you know somebody who visited with us, do your part in following up with them. And if you need some help with that, if you need to have some encouragement or help in having a conversation where you build upon some of the things that we talked about, I'm happy to help you. I know our elders are happy to help you. We have a lot of members who would be happy to assist you. But let's do our part to build upon that and to continue in these type of efforts. There's something special about children. There's something special about children in the heart of God and in the Lord's heart. And if we're to be the Lord's church, children need to have a special place in our lives and in our culture as a church and in our hearts as well. And that brings us to where we are in the story today. We are in the final moments and the latter chapters that cover Jesus' life and ministry before he arrives in Jerusalem. And where we are in chapter 25 of the story, Jesus has come, is about to come into Jerusalem, and that will be covered in this chapter. The triumphal entry, we talked about that a little bit this past week, actually, when we traveled back in time in our time machine when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. But in these final moments, in these latter chapters of Jesus' ministry, we see the place that children have in Jesus' heart. And I want to highlight those passages for us this morning to remind us of why we have done what we did this past week, but also to remind us that this shouldn't just be a one-time thing. Vacation Bible School, yeah, it only happens one time a year. It is a unique event. But that culture that Sherry Montgomery talked about, the mindset, the heart that makes Vacation Bible School what it is, well, that needs to continue throughout the rest of this year and hopefully for as long as Morristown Church of Christ is in existence, hopefully until the Lord himself returns. That brings us to Matthew chapter 19, the passage that Tom read for us. We're going to look at a few different passages. Some of them will record the same event but give us some different details. But they all show us something about who Jesus was when he walked this earth, what made him different from even his disciples and certainly from his enemies with regards to children. But it tells us so much about who we are to be. If we are to be a part of the Lord's kingdom, if we are to be participants in what the Lord is doing in his story, then we better pay close attention to children. Because his heart should be our heart. His eyes should be our eyes. His mission should be our mission. And one of the things that was at the forefront of his heart and his mission on earth was children. Go back again to Matthew chapter 19, the passage that Tom read for us. It says, "The children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And if you were a parent of a little one, if your child was sick or ailing or had some sort of disability, or maybe you just wanted your child to receive a blessing, taking them to Jesus was the best place to take them." But here's the thing. As people are bringing children to Jesus, his disciples rebuked him. Now, think about the courage that took to rebuke Jesus. Now, of course, at this time, they don't know everything about Jesus that we know in hindsight. They probably should have known more. But to have the courage, to have the gall to rebuke the people, and in essence, to rebuke Jesus as well. But Jesus said this, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven belongs to these. And then he lays his hands on them and goes away. Now turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke is going to record the same thing, and sometimes it's interesting to read how Matthew, Mark, and Luke will tell the same things, tell the same story, but give a new detail. And the detail in Luke 18 that got my attention in preparing for this lesson is in verse 15. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. "Now they were bringing even infants to him." There it is. That's the detail. It's interesting. It's not just children. It's not just toddlers or, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids. They're bringing their babies to him. Bringing their babies to Jesus. And maybe when the disciples saw this, they might have said to the people, "Oh, well, that's just too, you know, Jesus doesn't need me messing with babies, you know. You got diapers, you got messes, you got kids that spit up, you got all this. We don't need all the commotion and the trouble here." And so Jesus, even with the babies, says, "Don't hinder them. Bring them to me." Go back to Mark chapter 10. Mark will give another detail. Mark chapter 10. Starting with verse 13. It says there, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.'" We'll say more about that in a moment. But then look in verse 16. "And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." Matthew and Luke say that Jesus touched them, he laid his hands on him. But what does Mark tell us? Jesus takes them up in his arms. Some of those babies. Can you picture Jesus? Now I know we don't know exactly what he looked like, but can you imagine that this Jewish man, 30-something years old, single, doesn't have any children of his own. His disciples say, "Oh, don't, people, you don't bother the man with children." And now what's he doing? Bringing them up. "Sit in my lap, kids. Let me cradle the babies. Let me bless them." And by the way, in doing so, he says, "And unless you can become like these children, what's the kingdom of God to you?" If you go back one chapter in Mark chapter 9, an account that's recorded multiple times for us, seems to be an ongoing conversation among the disciples. The thing I love about the disciples is they're just like us, aren't they? I mean, these guys aren't special. Now, they're special in that Jesus appointed them, and they establish and begin the mission of the kingdom and establishment of the church. But as far as these guys and their backgrounds and their personalities, their strengths and their weaknesses, they're just average guys. And one of the conversations they had is, hey, which one of us is the best? Which one of us is the most important? Which one of us is the MVP of Jesus' inner circle? That goes on in Mark chapter 9, discussing who is the greatest. In verse 35 of Mark 9, Jesus says this, or it says this about Jesus, and he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And then he does this. He takes a child, puts him in the midst of them, and taking the child in Jesus' arms, he says to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Jesus was putting the disciples in their place in this moment, but you know what else he was doing? He was putting children in their place. He was putting children front and center of his mission. And he was wanting his disciples, if you think you are great, if you think you are somebody, then you need to serve these. The least of these. The littlest of these. If you want to be great, you serve these. He picks up the child again and holds that child. And I'm glad to say that this past week, we put children front and center of who we are and what we're about. But let us not think that that should just take place at Vacation Bible School. The children of this church and the children of this community need the Lord every day. And you know what? We need them as well. We need what they teach us. We need a portion of their spirit. We need their example. That brings us back to Matthew chapter 21. And this also is found in this week's portion of the story. Matthew chapter 21. So, on Tuesday of Vacation Bible School, we talked about the triumphal entry and the children and the adults, what we learned on this special occasion. This it would have been the first day of the week, probably. And so this is going into Jesus' last week on earth. Jesus is received and welcomed into Jerusalem like a king. And it's largely because he has brought Lazarus back from the dead. Once the people started hearing about that, and the people who saw it are attesting to that event, people thought, hey, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then they added this phrase, even the King of Israel, even the Son of David. They saw Jesus as the king who was going to restore Israel to its right place. And so they get out the palm branches, they throw down their coats, they welcome him like a king. But then he really rattles the phylacteries of the Pharisees because he goes into the temple. And in Matthew chapter 21, what does he do starting verse 12? He cleanses the temple. He sees the corruption, the greed, the hypocrisy. And it's not good. It's taking advantage of the poor and the weak. And here, the week leading up to Passover, this event of all events for the Jewish community, it's just become a game. It's become a money-making scheme. And it has lost all spiritual impact whatsoever. And Jesus says, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And so now, some of the people who were excited about his coming into the city, well, some of them probably aren't sure what to do with him. Certainly, the establishment, the authorities, they're ready to kill the guy. And yet in the midst of the temple, after overturning the tables and running people off, something else happens that often gets overlooked. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" A lot of times when we think about Jesus going into the temple, we just think about him overturning these tables. And while some people are run off, there are others who are drawn to Jesus in the temple. And I think the fact that it's in the temple has some significance to it. First of all, it's the blind and the lame. They come to Jesus in the temple for what? For healing. And guess what? He provides it. And then there are children seeing these things and witnessing these things. And it's poignant that when Matthew, by inspiration, records this for us, he says the children are crying out in the temple. I promise you that there were more adults in the temple than there were children. Now maybe some of these children, maybe they're part of the riffraff. Nobody's supervising them. You don't know who they belong to. Maybe it's like Jesus when he was 12. You know, Mary and Joseph didn't even know where Jesus was. But you've got these children scurrying around and they see what has just happened. And what do? They praise Jesus. They praise God for what Jesus is doing. And they recognize something in him that in this moment, it seems to be that none of the adults are willing to see and recognize. Hosanna to the Son of David. Sometimes children have a heart and a willingness to praise God when nobody else around does. It's one of the reasons why we need them around us, to remind us of that sense of innocence and purity and just faith. And then you've got these people who are supposed to be the leaders, and you know how they feel about the moment? Angry. In the ESV, it has the word indignant. In the moment when everybody should be celebrating and praising and worshiping the Lord, all these people can think about is, you see what they're doing? Jesus says, yeah. Don't you remember the scripture? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, that's where praise is found. In some ways it's so beautiful, and in some ways it's so sad. It's beautiful to see the children in this moment. It's so sad to see the adults. Those who should have been the leaders, those who should have been the guides of these children, missing out. Morristown Church of Christ is blessed in many ways. And if I were to make a list, I would say near the top of my personal list would be people who have a heart for children. A people who pay special attention to children. That was on full display this past week. And I usually try to avoid highlighting certain people, but you know, I just feel like right now is a good time to highlight a few things. Because after Vacation Bible School, I don't want us to miss out on what Jesus is teaching us here or what we've experienced this past week. If you were to make a list of people in your life, I'm speaking to our members and those of you who are visiting with us, I hope you get to know these people. But if you were making a list of people for whom children are special, probably the vast majority of us in here would first write down Harold and Judy Royston. Now, Harold's gotten really good at bribing kids with candy. But it's because he loves kids. And they love him. And I'm blessed to say my mom's here this morning. I grew up in a church with men like Harold Royston. And I'm getting a sad thing about it because most of them are gone now. In my office, there's a baseball bat that's my coat rack. When I played high school baseball, a guy named Al Morris made that for me. And these things stay with me today. I think about Brenda Dean. She drives me crazy sometimes, but she sure does like kids, and especially her army of little boys. Now, they're all out of town today, but if you notice, just about every Sunday, what is it, pew 8, is that what, 7, see, I always get, she gets upset with me. They sit on row 7. It's like a hallowed ground. But it really is hallowed ground. Because those young men, you know what they're learning? They're learning that there's people besides their parents who care about them and want them to grow up in the Lord. That's something special. I think about Becky and Rich. And Curtis needs to be included there as well. You all probably don't know all the things that the three of them do behind the scenes for people. But they do a lot. And I know other people appreciate that. Now, that's just a few examples. And I could give you a lot more of those around here. But here's the thing. This world is always going to be full of children. And you know what that gives us? An ongoing mission field. And I could stand up here today and so could you and we could lament and we could rant and rave about things that are going on in society that are to the detriment of children. And we wouldn't be wrong in any of the facts that we would say. But here's one thing we should never overlook. That's one of the reasons why we exist. It's because the world is sometimes an ugly and unfair place, especially for kids. And they need us now more than ever. And the children of this congregation need us now more than ever. Growing up today, I remember when I was younger, older people would say, I don't know how kids grow up in the world today. You know what? I'm starting to become one of those old people that says things like that. It isn't getting easier. Here's something else I know. Scripture consistently teaches us that the seeds we sow today, it's going to lead to something down the road. And one of the ways in which that is played out probably more powerfully than in any other arena is in the lives of children. I've grown to appreciate this principle more and more as a parent. I try to remind myself every day that the way I speak in front of my children, the lessons I teach my children, the example I set before my children, that's doing something in their heart. That's planting a seed. And if you want to borrow the picture that sometimes Jesus would use, you can either plant good seed or you can plant weeds. That's true for all of us, but it's especially true in our children's lives. And so today, while our children are young, are we planting in them seeds of faith, seeds of worship, seeds of praise? Are we planting within them the seed of God's Word? Or are we allowing other seeds to get planted in their hearts? Now, I will say this. It's possible to get the weeds out over time. But I prefer a garden with as few weeds as possible, don't you? And so the investment we have today in our children, they're like seeds. Every moment is. And by faith, I truly believe that if we do things the Lord's way, that there can be a crop of young people in the years to come who set the world on fire. Now, some people don't believe that, but I do. And it's based on what we plant in our children's hearts today. So with all that being said, I want to finish on Matthew chapter 18, and then the lesson will be yours. Matthew 18. We read a similar account of this in Mark, but I want to finish with this. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Some of you might read from translations in verse 3 where it says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and are converted like a child." You know, a lot of times we use the word convert or conversion. What we primarily think of is somebody who's not a Christian being baptized and becoming a Christian. And that's certainly an appropriate use of the word. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Here in a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. And if you haven't put the Lord Jesus on in baptism, based on your belief in His life, His death, and His resurrection, to have your sins washed away, you need to be baptized today. But let me say this to the rest of us. Sometimes we can be converted and be a Christian and still not get what Jesus has said in Matthew 18. We also need to be converted and be more like children. We need to have a sense of their humility. That's what Jesus highlights here. Children recognize by and large that they're nothing special, nobody important. Yeah, they might sometimes vie for attention, but they know they're shorter and weaker than everybody around them. Humility is a powerful thing. We need to have the purity and the innocence of children. The world is a hard and dark place, and over time, it hardens us and it darkens us. Some of us need to get back to that place in our hearts. Some of us need to become like children, like the children of Matthew 21. When Jesus heals the lame and the blind, what do they want to do? They just want to bust out in praise. Rejoice. Shout to the glory of the Lord. Some of us adults need to be converted to that kind of heart as well. You see, serving children isn't just about the benefit they receive. It's also about the benefit we receive and helping us get back to who God has always made us to be and wants us to be forever and ever. This morning, if you need to come to the Lord like a child, we encourage you to do so. You can take one of the pews at the front of the auditorium, or if you need to meet with one of our elders, they're happy to assist you in the library at the end of our services. Whatever your need is this morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.